is going to come from Psalms 18. So if you go to the book of Psalms and turn to the 18th chapter, it's written by David, and he is one of the most prominent characters of the Old Testament. He's a shepherd. He's a king, called a man after God's own heart. David probably did greater things than we've ever done, but he's done more horrible things than we've ever done in our lives. And to look at this psalm, beginning in the first verse, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surround me, and the floods of ungodliness make me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surround me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. I have a hard time saying I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised without singing that song, you know, that we sing, because it's one of my favorites. But you know, David, his focus in his life in these verses is on God. He knows where his strength comes from. He knows that no matter what happens to him, folks, all of us have had ups and downs in our lives, and we're not done with trials in our lives. We're not done yet, not until we're at home with him. But to know that David had that power of God in his life, and he knew the power of God, and he was appointed as a king and was part of the kingdom of God and representing God on earth. Yet he went through tremendous trials, tremendous struggles. As he mentions in verse 5, the snares of death confronted me, and the floods of ungodliness make me afraid. I was mentioned, I believe, Brother Phil this morning in our Bible class, about the difference between what's on television in the last 20 years or 25 years, you know. There's nothing anymore considered risque on TV. There's so much evilness, and it's just crept in little by little by little by little, like we talked this morning in Bible class. Satan is deceptive. As much as Satan wanted to destroy the kingdom of God on earth, at this time, to bring, you know, every time David had to cry to God, you know, I would have to think or assume that Satan was happy. Satan was happy that he made the people of God struggle. That's his nature. But when that happens, folks, and that happens to us in our lives, let's continue reading and see what happened and how God felt about David being in distress. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. You know, we talked this morning about the power of God, and we focused mostly this morning on God's word, his plan of salvation, and basically his word is his power, reaches out to us. That's where his power, he wants us to rely on his power to come from his word. He doesn't want us to rely on these powers that separate waters, that raise people from the dead, even though it's there, and he works those miracles today in his providence, in his good time, and in how he deems necessary. And when I say that, people are healed. People are saved. We have no idea how many angels surround each and every one of us as we sit here. We do know that he loves us that much. Let me ask you this, folks, just to compare our lives. I'm not asking for a raise of hands because, you know. But, you know, I ask around the room, how many of us have killed tens of thousands of people as David did? How many of us have had one of the best warriors and top chiefs of our commander killed and put out in the front for us? How many of us have had an adulterous relationship with somebody, one of our best friends, or one of our best co-workers, one of our best soldiers, like David did to Uriah? How many of us have had our sons want to kill us and take the kingdom from us like Absalom did with David? You know? I think I preached a lesson a while back about David didn't want to accept how terrible Absalom was. That's how much he loved his son. And he was very angry with the person that killed Absalom, even though Absalom was after him and chased his dad around, chased him out of the kingdom and the whole nine yards, folks. All these things David went through, a lot of it because of his own sin. Obviously, he had a firstborn that died, right? That was a punishment from God. His firstborn with Bathsheba, or was it Bathsheba? Okay, passed away. Now, some of us may have experienced that type of trauma in our lives. But I say this, God came out of heaven, and God was extremely angry with all those people that were persecuting David. Even though David, either before, or after, or during this time, God knew he was going to go through all these things. If God will protect David with all those sins in his life and all those things he did in his life, won't he protect us who committed none of those atrocities? He's very pleased with us being humble and meek and good people representing his kingdom. Now, to say we're greater than David, absolutely not. Okay? Because as far as humbleness, now, we can learn from David. He continued to focus back on God and put his trust in God. Made mistakes, had drama. You know, I've mentioned all a bunch. You know, there's another list, but all the drama that he had in his life, he kept refocusing on God. He never gave up. He never walked out of the church building and said, I've had enough. And never came back. He may have walked out of the church building and said, I've had enough and been angry and been hurt. But he came back. He came back. He returned to God. I will trust in God. I will call upon the Lord. I will never give up. That's how God can say he was a man after his own heart. God continued to work on his heart. His heart was still moldable even though he had tremendous sins in his lifetime, as we would call them in our culture today. Continuing on in verse 16, it is written, he, God, sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters and delivered me from my strong enemy, from who those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. Is that the right, devious? Okay, with the crooked, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but bring down the haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. Obviously, David's mentioning a whole bunch, and I didn't research to see what time David wrote this in his life, obviously, to see if it was before or after, or how, what part of his life it was that he can proclaim all the things that he's done. But I can attest to God in this passage in my life by being able to say, never in my wildest dreams could I imagine experiencing the things I've done in my life without God. I know a lot of folks, you know, I may have mentioned this before, I mentioned again, they got a bucket list, you know? I want to do this before I die. I want to go see this place before. I want to do this before I jump out of an airplane, you know, a good, perfectly good airplane. I want to jump out of an airplane before I die. Maybe you want to see somebody's gravesite you haven't visited in a long time. I just thought about that. I wouldn't mind going back and seeing my dad's gravesite. It's been almost 28 years. Don't know, you know. Just one of those things, kind of paying respects. But from a perspective of bucket list, God has taken care of me. I've never went hungry in 54 years. Probably should have a couple times. At least backed off the feed bag a little bit. Folks, I've, you know, God takes care of us when we follow him. I know it rains on the just and the unjust. There's probably people that have far better lives material-wise, but I, in my life, cannot imagine being blessed this much only because of God following me, because I've been faithful to him. Have I been perfect? No. Ask Kelly. She's got the list. I'm just kidding. But folks, God loves us and cares for us and wants us to enjoy each and every day. And he wants us to feel like David did here. I will trust in the Lord. He's lighting my lamp for the day. He's guiding me. The small, and I don't want to say small compared to, that's the neat thing about Jesus and his blood and the power. It doesn't matter how large or small your sins are per se. We get to start fresh every day. God, we can proudly say, I will trust in him. He's going to guide me. He's going to be a shield. His way is perfect. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to go. God tells us which way to go. Be faithful. Walk by faith, not by sight. Follow my precepts and my promises. He has not left us alone or without direction. All of us here, you know, or most all of us, you know, have to deal with somebody, either whether it's at work or whether it's in our business or whether it's kids, having kids and directing them to do the right thing. You know? How many of us would like to make the decisions for our kids? Still, they're gone. They're gone and got kids of their own. But folks, that's the same way God would love this, and this is how God does it. He doesn't crack us over the head with, you know, with the willow reed or on the behind with the willow reed. He says, open my word and listen to me. Let my power work in your lives. Let my word work in your lives. And that's the best thing we can do for our co-workers, for our children, for our grandchildren, to continue to help them focus on God's word and rely on him just like David did in this passage. Continuing on, verse 31, for who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarge my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Folks, this just continues on with recognizing how much God helps us in our lives. You know? I'm extremely cautious about saying God did this, God did that. I'll give you an example, you know. God gave me Kelly for a wife. Yes, he did. But I could have boneheaded up and not ask her to marry me. You know? Being able to preach here. I had an opportunity to be an elder in Lebanon or to come here and preach. I chose this. It was a choice of mine. Which way did God want me to go? And maybe when I get to heaven, I'll say, hey, God, which way would you want me to go? He said, the choice is yours. I would have used you wherever you, whatever you did, whatever choice you made. But I say that to say, if God is our rock, he will strengthen us with the decisions we make. If we're following him, he helps us. He helps us in so many ways. And being able to have that, to be able to walk by faith, you know, in my transition from one job to another, Kelly's happy for me, okay? Because she thinks, I shouldn't say that. You'd think going to another job, all the stress is going to be gone, but that's not the case. That's not the case. And even those wonderful people who get to retire, stress is still there. Responsibilities are still there. You're not living like a hippie and everything's cool. You know, that's just part of life. You have to continue to walk by faith daily. We still interact with people. We still have an opportunity and an obligation to proclaim how great God is in our lives. David continues to say, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroy those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. Folks, we don't have to take up the sword. We don't have to take up arms, at least not in our world and our culture right now, in our country, and have to do the things that David did in order to survive and to be the king. Part of his culture. But folks, let's ask that question. How do we step on the necks of our enemies? How do we subdue those people Christ puts at our feet? How do we pursue our enemies and overtake them? Now, we're not to do it as David did. We're to do it as Jesus did. We have lessons to learn from David, but obviously he's not our Savior. Jesus talks to us about having the power of forgiveness and the power of love and the power of wisdom, knowing that God will take care of those things. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I continue to learn this and apply it to my life, and I've told young people and some people, other people, through my life, that when you're angry and you want vengeance for some reason, you know, it could be Black Friday shopping, somebody got that last product that you were wanting, that you stand in line for 3 hours for. If it's that serious, God will take care of it for you somehow, however he does. But folks, that anger does not help us. Wanting to hurt someone or wishing ill on someone, I'm so glad Jesus gave that example while he was here. He had the power to snuff everybody out. Pillar of salt, boop. Pillar of salt, boop. Pillar of dust, you're gone. But yet he said, I forgive you. You know not what you do. You don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. You don't know how God really wants you to behave. And folks, the only way people understand how God wants us to behave is by us behaving like that. You know, we read earlier what David said about his ways and watching his steps, you know, and making sure that he was a good example. And ending our lesson this evening in the last five verses. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. So also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. That same powerful God lives, is blessed, and our rock, and is the God of our salvation. He's also the God that avenges for people that are evil and hate us and wish evil upon us. Isn't it odd that somebody with the providence and prominence of David, we've read 50 verses as David wrote in Psalm 18. He talks about his ups and his downs and how great God is and what God's done for him, power of God, the strength of God. That's how I got to this lesson. I was reading the verses that talked about the strength of God, and it drew me to this book and this chapter. But David says, I will give thanks to you, and I will sing praises to your name. Folks, prayer and singing are part of God's people's glorification of God. Even as David said, ups and downs, he recognized how great God was, and he wanted to sing to God. I will sing. I will sing. I hope you guys enjoyed the lesson this evening. Sorry I didn't have it on PowerPoint with a little bit of color and some display. But I'm thankful I walked this earth with forgiven people. But also to let you know that as precious as electronics are, and the gadgets we use, its power is still in His Word. Opening His Word and just reading it. And sharing it and reasoning among ourselves, just as Jesus did as He walked here. If there's anything in the lesson this evening that's touched your heart, any prayers, your congregation, or you have any need to respond to the invitation, we offer that invitation now as we stand and sing the selected psalm.